Hi, this is Jim with today's edition of Concert Billboard for Tuesday, July 31st. At the Bayshore Band Shell in Bayshore is a free brown bag concert series show with the West Houston Band. It's at 12:30 p.m. 12:30. It's 30 minutes after noon. It's another free show at Heckscher Park in Huntington. This is at 8:30 p.m. with Brave Combo. Yet another free show, John J. Burns Town Park in Massapequa. It's a salute to America with Sawyer Brown, and there'll be fireworks by Grucci. And at Connecticut Public Library in Bohemia, it's Red Molly. In the city at Radio City Music Hall is Michael Bublé. And Ben Queller is at Southpaw. That's it for Tuesday, July 31st. Looking ahead to Wednesday, August 1st at Heckscher Park in Huntington. It's the Nassau Pop Symphony Orchestra. Smokey Robinson is at North Fork Theater at Westbury. The Xavier Cugat Orchestra is at the H.B. Matlin Middle School in Plainview. That's a free show. At the Town Green in South Old Hamlet is Troitland and Novak Band. It's at 7:30 p.m. And at Main Street in Port Jefferson, there's the Music on Main series. It's at 7 p.m. So Music on Main Street, Port Jeff, if you happen to be there. If you want to know about more shows, go to the website at WUSB.FM and click on Concert Billboard. Here's the thought of the day from James Dent. He said, "A perfect summer day is when the sun is shining, the breeze is blowing, the birds are singing, and the lawnmower is broken." And thanks for listening to WUSB Stony Brook.
Where the time is exactly 6:01. Time once again for Off the Wall. And a good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you for the next hour or so. And first, let's start with a programming note. Next couple of weeks, you will hear pre-recorded shows because I'm going to be overseas. I'm going to be over in the countries of England, the Netherlands, and Germany on my way to the Chaos Communications Camp. Which, you know, there's still time for you to go to, ccc.de. Check out that website. You'll find out all about it. Basically, a whole bunch of hackers take over, in this case, an old military airstrip in East Germany. That's going to be a ton of fun, let me tell you. Basically, we take it over, pitch tents, somehow get electricity, somehow get connectivity, and it's going to be going on for 5 days in early August. So we'll be doing all kinds of remotes from there and later broadcast. Next week you'll hear, assuming you choose to listen, which I recommend, you'll hear the second of our North Korea shows. This one takes place in Pyongyang, and all sorts of enlightening material coming out of that strange country, which I visited early this year. And if you go online, you can hear the first show we did from Kaesong. Go to www.2600.com/offthewall. You can hear all of our shows there. But next week it'll be Off the Wall from Pyongyang, North Korea. And the week after that will be another pre-recorded program from Beijing. That's in China. Beijing, China, yes. You'll hear me walking around the streets, being very confused and perplexed. And also going into a Chinese mall, which is an experience and a half. And then, with luck, we'll be back live in 3 weeks. Tonight, we have just a normal show, I guess. We'd like to take phone calls. Hopefully, the phone calls won't come in at 2 minutes to the hour like they did last week. We'll give out the phone number at about half past, and it would be nice if people called in. Then we can take some phone calls, hear from our listeners. That's who you guys are, after all. You're what make it all possible. And meaningful, and things like that. We'll read some of your letters as well. Our email address, otw@2600.com. And if you're just tuning in by accident, meant to go somewhere else, why not stick around for a while? We try to give a perspective on world events every week and get all sorts of feedback and controversy going. It's just part of what we do here at the radio station. Anyone catch the headlines over the last week? There's always some fun headline. Last week, of course, it was the whole Tammy Faye thing. That's over. Everyone's forgotten about that. This week, though, I guess it's just kind of summed up by this headline I saw on the website. NASA, : no more drunk astronauts. Can you believe it? Yeah, apparently this is an issue where NASA is sending astronauts up into the air drunk. Who comes up with this material? You could not make this up. And what kind of astronaut can you be to say, you know what, I'm going to get good and plastered before heading up? I mean, I understand the mentality behind it. If I was going up into the heavens, orbiting various worlds, yeah, maybe a few shots of Jack Daniels would make it go a little easier. But you got to keep in mind, if you don't care about the fact that you're piloting this multi-billion-dollar piece of machinery that requires all sorts of buttons and knobs to be doing just the right thing at just the right time, keep in mind that you're on nationwide TV. Yeah, you know, the walk from wherever it is you guys are beforehand down the hallway to the space shuttle. You know what? I know where you are beforehand. You're in a bar. That's where these people are walking out of every time. And you're on nationwide TV. God forbid you stumble or leer or something. Wouldn't be very seemly, would it? Setback for the entire space program. It seems like no matter what happens, it's always a setback for the space program. 9/11, setback for the space program. I don't know how they worked that in, but they did. Things exploding or disappearing. And, of course, it's always the first thing that gets cut. When people start talking about, my God, all the wasted money. Well, we have to cut the space program because that's a waste. It doesn't matter that it's one trillionth of what we spend on firing weapons at each other. That doesn't get the same kind of debate. But space, yeah, you know, space doesn't benefit me, which is nonsense. Space does benefit you. There's all sorts of breakthroughs in the world of medicine. We would not have communications that we have today were it not for the space program. And one day we'll find out even more about this universe. In fact, we're finding out more about this universe every day by simply looking through telescopes that are in orbit. But one day we'll learn even more. One day maybe we'll come into contact with some other civilization out there. Of course, that's always kind of risky because they might think of us as ants or some kind of pest, which wouldn't be that far from the mark. So it's kind of, you know, a crapshoot if you're meeting up with beings of another world. They'll either be friendly or they won't be friendly. And if they're not friendly, maybe they can destroy you with a thought. And that's the end of everything. But you know what? I think it's worth it because I'm curious as to what's out there. And curiosity is what's driven us from the beginning. It's caused a lot of problems, but it's also gotten us every place we've ever chosen to go. All right. However did I get off on that? Oh, yeah, the NASA headline. It's just more nonsense. I mean, common sense. Don't send astronauts up into the stratosphere, into outer space or inner space or whatever, if they're not capable of driving a car. Wow. Here's an interesting story. We hear about this every now and then, where automatic teller machines hand out money, but they hand out too much of it. Yeah, an ATM at a Northwest Louisiana truck stop gave out $20 bills instead of $5 bills. I can't recall the last time I ever saw an ATM give out $5 bills. I'd sure like to find one. Just, you know, occasionally you want a 5, you don't want a 20. Of course, they get you with the fees. Fees are probably about as much as the money they give you. Anyway, authorities say they know who used the machines that when it was giving out $20 bills, and they plan to pursue the extra $7,000 the machine spit out. The DeSoto Parish, that's what they call places down there in Louisiana, DeSoto Parish Sheriff's... why is there an apostrophe S there? It doesn't make any sense. Oh, because it's the sheriff of DeSoto Parish. I get it now. DeSoto Parish Sheriff. That doesn't even make sense the way they did it. Anyway, Lieutenant Tony Morris said the automated teller machine has records identifying the 26 people who received the extra cash during 5 days in late June and early July. You can't get away with anything here. Now they know who you are. Annette Parker, a supervisor at Eagle's truck stop, said she unplugged the machine after overhearing conversations about the excess payments. The next morning when we had come back in, what does that mean? Is this a lingo that I just don't understand? Apostrophes in weird places and sentences that don't flow? The next morning when we had come back in, somebody had plugged it back up. Come on! You've got to be kidding me. This is an Associated Press story, and they don't even, like, make a correction. The next morning when we had come... Oh, wait a minute. Now I understand it. Okay. Now I was reading it wrong. The next morning when we had come back in, when we came back in other words, somebody had plugged it back up. That still doesn't make sense. Plug it back up? Plug it back in. You plug up a toilet or something. I don't know. Anyway, Morris said someone who did not work at the truck stop may have rigged the machine, which keeps records of when money is received and whose card is used, but strangely enough, not who rigs it. Morris said charges could be brought against the people who got more money than was debited to their bank accounts. That's utter nonsense. Charges against people who just went to a machine, got money, and left? Maybe they didn't count the money? Maybe they decided, okay, I'll just accept this, and it'll be deducted from my bank account since the bank knows everything anyway. Why doesn't the bank just do that? Take the money from the bank account. Instead of criminalizing people who weren't doing anything wrong. All they did was take money out of a machine, like they're supposed to. The machine did something wrong. Criminalize the machine. The capability is there to make all the appropriate adjustments. It's weird how law enforcement pursues some things. Like, did you see that story this week about the two helicopters that collided? This was insane. In Phoenix, apparently this is the week for Phoenix, because all sorts of weird things happened over there. There was another media camera captured a pickup truck driving into a lake or something and overturning, and captured it live, and people had to be rescued because of flash floods. But this was a car chase. Somebody had, I think, stolen a car and was being pursued by the cops. And every single news channel, or actually TV channel, they're not news channels, every channel in Phoenix apparently felt they had to cover this live. It's sort of a sickness in our country whenever somebody is involved in a car chase, particularly in California. The local TV stations break into their programming. I know, because I get some West Coast TV stations on my satellite, and sometimes I turn it on, and yeah, they've preempted Oprah because somebody didn't pay for something at a 7-Eleven and is being chased by the cops, and helicopters are following this person all throughout the streets of Los Angeles. And you always want to see how is it going to turn out. Usually it turns out they catch the guy. I don't think it's ever turned out otherwise. But I guess people sort of want to see, they have this morbid curiosity, is he going to hit any other cars, take out pedestrians, do something that will cause his vehicle to explode. Who knows? Ever since O.J., we've been fascinated. I guess before that, we've been fascinated. I don't know what it is about California, other than the fact that they're insane. But over there, for some reason, they really are fixated on this. You can sign up for a service, pay a fee every month, and get a message when there's a chase in progress, so you don't miss it. A message comes to your phone or to your pager saying, turn on the TV now, because somebody's being chased. Somebody was bad. And then, you know, turn on the TV set. And don't do anything else except vegetate and watch this. It's this kind of mentality that makes the TV station helicopters go out and try to get all this footage of something that's really shouldn't be that big a deal in the first place. Cops have been chasing people since before the dawn of civilization, all right? And they're going to be doing it long after. In fact, they might already be. But it's this fascination with it that makes it almost something necessary. The people become TV stars. So why not? Why not make it as dramatic as possible? So in this particular case, for those who didn't hear, there were competing TV news helicopters that were following this, and two of them collided with each other, killing everybody on board, all four people, both helicopters. The thing is, what law enforcement is trying to do here, what the sheriff over there said, real bonehead, he said he was going to charge the person who was being chased with the killings of the four people on the helicopter, because it was directly as a result. Come on already. I understand needing to find somebody to point the finger at, but this guy did not hold a gun to the helicopter pilots' heads and say, follow me while I get chased by the cops. Now, if he had hit somebody while he was driving recklessly, obviously that's something that he should be responsible for. If the cop hits somebody, I guess sort of, but the cop's got to take some responsibility too. Too often cops take no responsibility. But this, people in the sky following you, what if somebody was watching you on television and they got really excited and they banged their head against the wall and got a concussion and died of a brain aneurysm? What if that happened? I mean, you can charge somebody with all sorts of things because of the butterfly effect. You know, because you were here at this particular point in time, history was forever changed. So everything bad that happens from this point on, and yeah, everything good too, but we'll just ignore that, it's all your fault. All your fault. Yeah. You killed Hitler and you messed everything up. So you got to be very careful what you start here. Personally, I think this guy was just talking out of emotion. If they actually wind up charging somebody with killing four people in a helicopter because they were watching what he was doing, then all bets are off. Anything is possible. You can get charged with all sorts of crimes that have nothing to do with anything that you were even aware of. Just more madness and more craziness. Oh, speaking of madness and craziness, this, I just got to read this story. It's not the kind of thing we usually focus on. It's not the kind of thing we usually care about. But this is just wrong on so many levels that I just can't let it go by. All right, the headline alone. Zsa Zsa Gabor's husband found naked in car, says he was mugged. Okay, right there, that headline alone, you sort of get the idea. And says he was mugged, that introduces the element of doubt. Well, was this guy really mugged, or is he just naked in a car for no particular reason? Right. Again, California, Santa Monica. Zsa Zsa Gabor, you know, I haven't heard that name in so long. Zsa Zsa Gabor's husband, who made headlines earlier this year when he claimed to be the father of Anna Nicole Smith's baby. Yeah, did you miss that one? Said Friday he was stripped, robbed, and left naked in his Rolls Royce by three women. Frederick von Anhalt called police around 10 a.m. on Thursday to say he'd been driving near the Bel Air Country Club when he was flagged down by three women in a white Chrysler convertible with Florida plates, said Los Angeles Police Department spokesman Kevin Malberger. Von Alhot said he thought the three women wanted to pose for a photograph with him. Yeah, that, I guess that makes a degree of sense. But when he started talking to them, one of them pushed a gun into his neck. All of a sudden, I felt a pressure on my neck. She said to me, "It's the real thing. Don't move." His comments followed a hearing in which his wife was ordered to pay nearly $4,000 for failing to attend an earlier court session in an ongoing lawsuit against her daughter. It just keeps getting... This is arrested development, but it's the real thing. Continuing, and then they took everything off me. Took my watch off, my expensive watch. I'm completely in the nude, said von Anhalt, who uses the royal title Prince. Are you keeping track of the number of things just so bizarrely wrong? He says that was given to him by a German princess who adopted him. Officer Sandra Gonzalez said he was found naked in the front seat, was not injured. Von Anhalt said one woman took the keys from his Rolls-Royce Phantom, then handcuffed him to the steering wheel. That doesn't make any sense. Why not steal the Rolls Royce at least? The police say... handcuffed him to the steering wheel. The police say no handcuffs were found when they arrived. So this guy's also Houdini. He was able to not only get himself out of the handcuffs, but get rid of the handcuffs while remaining naked in the front seat of his Rolls Royce. In February, von Anhalt announced he believed he was the father of Anna Nicole Smith's daughter. He said he carried on a decades-long affair with the former Playboy Playmate of the Year. DNA test later proved Smith's ex-boyfriend Larry Burkhead was the baby's father. Van Anhalt was in court Friday for a hearing in the lawsuit he and Zsa Zsa Gabor filed against her daughter, Francesca Hilton. Oh, no, not another one. Francesca Hilton? Are they somehow infiltrating this? It would make sense, I guess. They're all interbreeding with each other. Superior Court Judge Jacqueline Connor ordered Zsa Zsa Gabor, 90 years old, to pay a penalty for missing an earlier court appearance in the lawsuit, even though her lawyers have provided the court with a doctor's note explaining her absence at the previous hearing. Gabor said, and her ninth husband, yes, I said that right, Zsa Zsa Gabor and her ninth husband claim in the lawsuit that Hilton, who's Gabor's daughter with the late hotel magnate Conrad Hilton. Now, is that the same hotel magnate that fathered Paris? Probably is, right? How many of them are there? How many could there be? She said that Hilton stole $2 million by forging her mother's signature to take out a loan on Gabor's $14 million Bel Air home. Days of our lives. Unbelievable here. The lawsuit, which alleges elder abuse, fraud, and intentional infliction of emotional distress, alleges that Hilton used money from that transaction to buy a Laurel Canyon property and invest in a phantom company in New York. Oh, you gotta love those phantom companies. Connor set a September 14th trial date and ordered Gabor to pay $1,840 to Hilton's attorney and $2,040 to the notary in the case. The notary gets more than the attorney. How about that? That's funny. Gabor filed the lawsuit, but she's got to pay because she didn't show up. Gabor did not appear in court, and von Anhalt said she was too sick to do so. The purported prince expressed disappointment with the judge's decision. I always said America is the best country to live. That's not really... You know, you're a millionaire, you've got all this money, treat you naked in a car, but you should be able to phrase a sentence better than that. I always said America is the best country to live. Of course, the country is alive, but you mean to live in. In Europe, we respect older, sick people. We don't drag them to court. Yeah, but didn't she file a lawsuit? I mean, okay. Hilton did not speak to reporters, but Richards called the judge's decision to penalize Gabor a victory. He said the lawsuit is groundless. My client has been the victim of scurrilous allegations. She will have her day in court. I imagine she'll have many days in court. Richards questioned the veracity of von Anhalt's reported robbery. It's an uncorroborated alibi about as fantastical as him being the father of Anna Nicole Smith's child, he said. Hilton, born in 1947, is the only child from Gabor's marriage to the hotel magnate. Ah, and here's the answer to our question. She is a great aunt to Paris and Nikki Hilton. Yes, that's right. There's another one. Another one called Nikki. I'm sure we'll be hearing more about her. Funny thing, there was hope that you weren't going to hear anything about her. But if you look in the history, I know because people send me these things, and sometimes I get curious and look. But if you look in the history, Nikki Hilton did not look like one of these people. And by that, I mean she looked like a commoner. She looked like one of us, regular person. And apparently she had some work done, and now she looks like she should be on the cover of Vogue magazine. You only do that if you're going to go someplace with that, and I'm sure that we'll have another talentless idiot to take up the news headlines. But boy, this is something else, this whole story. Zsa Zsa Gabor's husband found naked in car, says he was mugged. I wonder why. What's the purpose of a story like this? What's the purpose of making it up? Other than just being a complete crazy rich lunatic. Oh, and speaking of Paris Hilton, I don't like to do it. You know I don't like to do it, but some things do need to be said. Those of you who have browsers, in fact, I'm going to do it right now on this Mac just to make sure that I know what I'm talking about. I tried this on a PC, and this is a Mac. You know that little Google bar up in the corner of your browsers? Most browsers have it. I know Mozilla has it, Firefox, I think even Explorer. Some people think that that keeps track of what you search for. That does not. Other parts of your browser do. But this particular built-in search bar keeps track of what everybody searches for. So if you type a letter, it'll try to finish it based on those results. Now, I'm going to type the letter P, and you know what? It doesn't work here. Okay, it doesn't work on a Mac, but it works on a PC. If you type P, the first response is Paris Hilton. She's taken over the letter P. Yeah, it's an appropriate letter for her, I guess, but it doesn't work on a Mac. Okay, that's another good thing about a Mac. All right, staying in Phoenix, or going back to Phoenix, actually. Crazy city of the week. Officers responding to a report of an exorcism on a young girl found her grandfather choking her, and used stun guns to subdue the man who later died. Stun guns aren't supposed to kill you, you know, but apparently the police are getting pretty good at that. Anyway, the 3-year-old girl and her mother, who was also in the room during the struggle between 49-year-old Ronald Marquez and officers, were all hospitalized. Their condition was unavailable. The relative who called police said an exorcism had also been attempted on Thursday. The purpose was to release demons from this very young child, said Sergeant Joel Tranter. I like the way he claims that's the purpose of the exorcism, to release the demons from the very young child. It doesn't sound like such a bad thing, does it? Who wants to have demons in their young child? Anyway, officers arrived at the house on Saturday and entered when they heard screaming coming from a bedroom. A bed had been pushed up against the door. The officers pushed it open a few inches and saw Marquez choking his bloodied granddaughter, who was crying in pain and gasping. Or was it the devil? We'll never know now, will we? A bloody, naked 19-year-old woman, who police later determined to be Marquez's daughter and the girl's mother, was in the room chanting something that was religious in nature. I just love the way police officers try and describe these things. Yeah, trying to get the demons out of the young child, they were chanting something that was religious in nature. The officers then forced open the door enough for one to enter, leading to a struggle in which an officer used a stun gun on Marquez. After the initial stun had no visible effect, another officer squeezed into the room and stunned him 55 more times or so. The girl was freed and passed through the door to the relative. Marquez was placed in handcuffs after a struggle with officers, and unlike Jaja Gabor's husband, was not able to make them disappear. He initially appeared normal, but then stopped breathing. The cause of death was not immediately known. But boy, what's going on over there in Phoenix? Everyone's crazy. Craziness out of there. All right, here's something I want to share. Actually, I shared a couple of things. I shared my feelings. Last week, a couple weeks before that, we talked about the Newsday forums and how horrible they are and how they are basically a gateway for racists and idiots to just say whatever they want and say really nasty, harmful things. For instance, let's say a relative of yours dies and it's reported in Newsday. The first post will be, "I'm glad he's dead. May he rot in hell." How do you think it feels for relatives who read the paper to see that? And yet, that kind of thing is sanctioned. So I wrote a letter. I wrote a letter to both the editor and the publisher. Not a letter to the editor that kind of gets printed. An actual letter where I pointed this out. I said, "Look, something should be done about this. This is not how you run a forum. You've got to have some sort of moderation, especially if you're going to put the name of Newsday on it." And I got a call. I got a call from the editor of Newsday. The editor, there's only one, the editor of Newsday called me, left a message. I called him back. He's away for a week, so I'm going to be away for 2 weeks, so it's a bit of telephone ping-pong and tag and things like that. But I got their attention. got their attention. I don't know what good it's going to do. If this matters to you, I suggest you write a letter, too, because it does show up on the radar. I can say this. Hasn't made a difference today. I'll give you an example. Two stories I just picked right before coming in. A Central Islip man who admitted driving drunk in an October crash that killed two people and injured another was sentenced to 5 to 15 years in prison today. And the very first comment? Friggin' wetback Mexican ass, why does he have a car? Shouldn't he be on a corner looking for landscaping work? Spick. Yeah, that was allowed. That's perfectly okay under the banner of Newsday. You see the problem here? It's not a free forum. It's idiocy. And then another story. A 77-year-old man was killed Tuesday morning. I'm sorry about all the bad news, but it does happen a lot. A 77-year-old man was killed Tuesday morning in Bayshore when his car collided with another car whose teenage driver ran a stop sign. And the comment to that, I must ask if the Latino driver is in this country legally, or is it just another case of an illegal killing an American that the media and the government don't want us to know about? Oh, come on already. So, yeah, Newsday.com, write your letters to the editor and to the publisher and see if you get a response. I think you will. I think this is of great concern to them. And I wish I had talked to the guy before he left. Hopefully when I get back, I'll be able to talk to him. Maybe I'll talk to him from overseas. Who knows? Okay, here's a public service that I'm going to give to people. Companies not to do business with. Every so often, I go on a rant about a company that's particularly hard to deal with. Like trying to cancel my Vonage account a couple of weeks ago, which I was successful. I was able to do it. And I actually, this was very gratifying. I was able to inspire somebody to do the same thing. Listen to this letter that we got. I was catching up on some old off the walls on the way to work today. I heard your story on canceling Vonage. That inspired me to go ahead and cancel my seldom-used account. Same as you. I was told I had a 15-minute wait, though they answered in about 10. I told them I wanted to cancel, and they made me jump through several hoops to prove it was me. They then proceeded to try and keep me. I even received the same $5 offer that you did. I simply told the rep not to bother, that I was canceling no matter what. And to my surprise, she relented. What a time we live in where they have to relent to get you out of this contract. It's not even a contract. It's just a monthly billing that they won't stop. My biggest problem was actually hearing the rep as her headset was great at picking up every ambient noise around her, and there was an awful lot of it. But horrible at actually conveying her voice. Anyway, I received confirmation emails about 2 minutes after hanging up, so it looks like she completed the cancellation. The next Visa statement will tell the real story. Thought I'd share. Thanks for inspiring me to finally cancel the accounts. Signed, Davin. Congratulations, Davin. And may you have many months, many years, as Vonage-free, without being billed every month for the rest of your life. Okay, but this company is called J2. J2 Global, I think, is their full name. Now, I needed a phone number overseas. I needed to have a number that would pick up with voicemail with an overseas phone number. And it was simple to do this, but it cost about $15 a month. And I realized, you know, I don't need this service anymore. I needed it at one point. I don't need it now. So I went to their website, and I looked all over the place. I looked all over the place for how to cancel. There was nothing on the actual website, so I plugged it into their search bar. And what came up was basically telling me that in order to cancel, well, first of all, they were trying to get me not to cancel. And they said if you have to cancel, then you have to start an online chat in order to actually cancel your account. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. So I clicked on a button. I think this company is called JConnect. I'm looking it up right now, in fact. And I'm going through their website. And I don't see anything. Don't see anything on here about how to cancel. It's not on their front page. And if you click on Help, You go to another page that basically has a bunch of questions. How do I open faxes? Why haven't I received the fax that was sent to me? But nothing actually about canceling. So, okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to type the word cancel in their little search bar and see how to cancel your JConnect account. If you are considering canceling your JConnect account because you are having a problem using the service, keep in mind that the solutions to many common problems can be found in this help section. If our online help is insufficient or you wish to cancel your JConnect account for another reason, please click the blue Chat Now button below or click here and a customer service representative will assist you. Please note that your account should not be considered canceled until so confirmed by customer service. If you are a JConnect Premier user and you are canceling your account near the end of your billing month, please be aware that you may still be charged for the next month. If this occurs, simply contact us and we will issue a refund. Good luck contacting them. Okay, so I had to do that. I had to start a chat in order to cancel, which seems wrong right there. And it was the middle of the night. That's when I pay my bills. So I clicked on the button, and I was surprised someone actually answered. I don't know where they are, how they work this thing, but yeah, they answered. Welcome to chat. The session has been accepted. This was from Fred H. That's how he identified himself. Fred H. Hello, Emmanuel. Welcome to J2 Global Online Support. I am Fred, your online live support representative. How are you doing today? Hi. I'm trying to cancel this account and didn't see any way of doing it on the website. I am sorry to hear that you wish to cancel. Could you please provide me with your fax number and PIN for verification? The PIN is, I'm not going to say it, just in case, who knows. And fax number, I don't want to say that either. I know it's canceled, but I don't want to say it. Okay? Just cut that out, yeah. Thank you for providing your information. Please give me a moment while I go through your records. In the meantime, please type the number corresponding to your reason for cancellation. 1. Moving to another provider. 2. Bought a fax machine. 3. Business or role changed. 4. Short-term project completed. 5. Financial reasons. 6. Problems with faxing or billing. 7. Dissatisfied with quality of service. 8. Too costly. I have to fill out a form in order to cancel the service. Well, I chose 4. Short-term project completed. No use for the service anymore. Appreciate your feedback. Please give me a moment. Thank you for waiting. I have just located and verified your account. Emmanuel, I can understand that you may not be using the service much at this time. We really value your association and relationship with us. You know, what this tells me right here, based on how quickly these messages were coming across, I hit 4. This is the response for 4. Every number you hit has a different pitch to try and get you to stay. So I'm hearing this particular one. In the current situation, as a special consideration, we will waive off the monthly fee for 2 months. We'll waive it off. Usage charges are applicable for sending faxes. You never know when the need arises. It could prove useful to you. Your J2 Premier account will be credited with $30 so that you may utilize our services without being billed our monthly fee for the next 2 billing cycles. Since you will not be charged any monthly fees for the next 2 months, you may keep the account till then. If at all you find that you need our services during this period, then you will still have the account. If, however, you still feel that you do not have any use for our services by the end of the 2 months credit period, then you can always contact us back anytime. Can you believe this? Wow. Thanks, but I don't need the service anymore, so I'd appreciate it just being canceled. I completely understand your wish to discontinue. Since you have already paid for the month, I suggest you to go for the above offer so that you can derive maximum value for the money you have spent for our services. Also, as a special consideration and as a goodwill gesture to continue our association, we will offer you an additional gift balance of $10 along with a monthly credit, which will enable to send up to 100 additional fax pages free of cost per page per minute within U.S. and Canada. You know, I've had the ability to send faxes since 1986. I don't need these guys. I've never used their service to send a fax in the first place. During this 2 months credit period, you can keep this service active, and if you use it once in these 2 months, we will be more than happy that we were able to serve you. Please feel free to contact us anytime as we are available 24/7. Isn't this amazing? I've done all this, and they still haven't done the simple thing that I asked them to do, and they've transferred me over into a whole new realm of service, of being charged. Anyway, this is what I said. I just want to make sure I don't get a charge again in 2 months because I won't be using it. Please be assured that you will not be charged any monthly fee for the next 2 months. You know, you should be working for the government, the way you're able to twist words like that. Usage charges applicable for sending faxes, if any. If you feel that after the 2 months of credit period, the number still does not serve your purpose, you can get back to us anytime via the same chat session. There is certainly no obligation to stay back. To stay back? We are available 24/7. Okay, I don't want to get charged in the future at all, so please just cancel the account. Thanks. All right. I respect your decision, and will cancel your number immediately. You bastard. All right, he didn't say that, but it was there. I felt it. I felt the resentment coming across that iChat. Is there anything else you would like to have assistance with? Well, I don't know. Not being a customer anymore, probably not. Thanks. That's all I needed. You are welcome. Emmanuel, we would appreciate it. Actually, we would appreciate if you could spare a minute in filling the survey form, as it would give us your valuable feedback, which would help us to improve our services. Here is the link where you can fill the survey. I won't give the link, and I'm sure you can figure it out yourself. Thank you for contacting J2 Online Support. I hope you found our session helpful. Goodbye and take care. The user has ended the session. Wow. If that does not fit the definition of jumping through hoops to get something done, I don't know what does. So I don't recommend using that service. God forbid you can't reach that particular person through that particular stupid chat program. Or what if you don't have internet access? Then you can never cancel. The only way to cancel is the way my friend did with Vonage, to cancel the credit card so it doesn't get billed every month. Unreal. Okay, you know, if anybody wants to give us a call, we'll open up the phone lines. But we're not going to go into delay unless we get a bunch of phone lines, because it's a real pain in the ass to go into delay. So 631-632-9872 is our phone number, 631-632-WUSB. Give us a call, and we'll see about getting people on. I see there's one call on the line. If we can get two or three, I'll consider going into delay, because you just don't want to know what a pain it is. And those of you who are calling in, stay on the line. Don't give up when the time's out, because then we're back down, and then we won't take calls. Here's some feedback to our discussion about the failing infrastructure in the States. I was listening live this evening over the Internet. I can't get the broadcast signal in Manhattan. Can't get the broadcast signal in Port Jefferson, but never mind that. I was going to call in, but I got distracted during the second half of the show. The deterioration of the infrastructure in this country, both physical and social, is very scary and something everyone should take seriously. I happen to work in an office building a block away from where the street exploded last week at the corner of 41st and 3rd Avenue. It was very scary to evacuate the building while it shook and there was a continuous sound like a jet engine nearby. And to think that this sort of thing could happen all over Manhattan, and that in the rest of the country, and here too, there are decaying bridges, dams, and just about any other construction anybody ever thought of, it gives one pause. I was speaking to a friend of mine who was a civil engineer the day the street exploded, and she said that it is estimated, I have no idea how people estimate these things, that the U.S. needs an investment of $1 trillion just to address the known maintenance and repair problems with critical infrastructure. That's just one or two Iraq wars, depending on whose numbers you prefer, just to set the infrastructure straight, not necessarily to improve it. Attached are two photos, which unfortunately I can't show on the air, but they were pretty interesting, that were taken by a colleague of this letter writer several minutes after the initial explosion. Once he determined that it wasn't spreading. And one taken from the terrace of this letter writer's office the next day. You can still see the tow truck in the hole in the ground. Sorry, Nick. Nick, thanks very much for that comment. All right, we still have one call coming in. That's not enough, folks. I'm sorry. I don't mean to, you know, to be egotistical here, but we need two or three, at least three, I would say. Because, you know, one person calling me a wetback from the Newsday forums, and then I have to go out of delay again. It's hard to go into delay. It really is. 631-632-9872. 631-632-WUSB. New York used to have someone who could get things done. He also had the ability to get stuff done that shouldn't have been done and to cause more pain than needed to have been caused when he built stuff. And, of course, this letter writer is talking about Robert Moses. He was never elected to any office, but he was New York City Parks Commissioner, head of the New York Power Authority, head of the Long Island State Parks Commission, head of the Triborough Bridge and Tunnel Authority, etc., etc. He had more power than any other non-national politician in the U.S. It took less time for Moses and company to build the entire Triborough Bridge, really three bridges and interconnecting roadways, than it has taken to rebuild the Steinway Street overpass on the Grand Central Parkway in Astoria. Oh, my God. Tell me about it. Or the BQE. What is up with the BQE? Brooklyn-Queens Expressway. Those of you who are local know what I'm talking about. For as long as I can remember, I think as long as I've been alive, that road has been under major construction. And as soon as they finish, right by the Kosciuszko Bridge, I love saying that, the Kosciuszko Bridge, which connects Brooklyn to Queens, as soon as they finished closing two lanes of that, heading eastbound, and paving over the road and painting the lines, they're back at it again. It never ends. Never ends. I'm convinced that there's just some sort of a money pit in New York where people just pour money into nothing, where it's so corrupt that basically there are work crews out there fixing things, breaking things, fixing things again, but never building anything new. Because certainly things have not improved. Yet, we pay so much. Anyway, continuing here. Robert Moses built Jones Beach and the highways permitting you to get there, overcoming the resistance of the big landowners in Nassau County. He replaced the evil-smelling mountain of ashes in the Fitzgerald novel The Great Gatsby with the two world's fairs and with Flushing Meadows Corona Park. Unfortunately, he also destroyed much of the Bronx with the Cross Bronx Expressway, the road I consider the worst road in the world. You can go there at 4 in the morning and it's bumper to bumper for some reason. He rejected pleas to change the alignment even a little and keep some neighborhood resources on the same side of the expressway, which would have ameliorated the problems caused by the expressway. He wanted to build three elevated expressways downtown. Yeah, 30th Street and 125th Street. And also, I'm sorry, I misread that. Downtown, 30th Street and 125th Street in Manhattan. And as a consultant, he wanted to destroy New Orleans' French Quarter with an expressway. Now, fortunately, his plans for the Lower Manhattan Expressway, which would have destroyed much of what he called a blighted neighborhood known as Greenwich Village, were stopped by Jane Jacobs. And she just died a year or two ago in Toronto. I think in New York, we've overreacted to the extremes of Robert Moses and changed things so that everything can be challenged and re-challenged forever and nothing can get built. Signed, Joel from Astoria. Good points. But yeah, Robert Moses, wow. Yeah, did some good, but a real tool for the auto industry, and caused a lot of harm as a result. Okay, we got a couple of calls, and people are sticking in there, so we're going to try it out, all right? 631-632-9872. I've asked Billy Bragg to come in and help us out transitioning over to delay. Let's everybody keep our fingers crossed. Hopefully this will work out painlessly.
Hi, this is Billy Bragg talking to you from London,
right,
England. You're listening to WUSB 90.1 at the University of Stony Brook on the island.
Did we make it? Okay. You know, I did this wrong. I'm sorry, I messed it up. It was my fault, nobody else's fault. I should have played that in the other channel. That's the whole point. Billy Bragg served no purpose whatsoever except for 7 seconds of silence. I can't believe I've been at this station so long and I still can't do delay properly. My fault. Entirely my fault. But it is working at least. All right, 631-632-9872. Let's take a phone call. Good evening, you're on Off the Wall.
Emmanuel, it's Bill from over in England.
Okay, now the problem is that the phone isn't coming up on the board. It's incredible, the challenges people put in our way here. Keep talking. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, maybe you're talking very quietly, too. Is that possible?
Is this the delay kicking in quickly, is it?
It's a delay kicking in, but okay, I think you're up now. What's on your mind?
Brilliant. It was just about the search suggestions toolbar.
Yes.
Was it Firefox that you mentioned?
I used it on Firefox.
Yeah. You can't actually disable it.
You can't disable that? Isn't that scary? If you type P
no,
in that Google bar...
you can.
Oh, you can?
You can, yeah.
Please tell me how to do it.
Well, in the top right corner where you've got... I mean, I think Google is the default search and suggestion, but if you click on the drop down and you go all the way down to manage search engines,
uh-huh.
And then within there you've got a little dialog box, so you should have a little dialog box that says show search suggestions, and you can untick that.
Wow. I'm trying to re-enable it on the Mac just because I'm I'm being nasty, but I can't see how to do it on the Mac. But
I use Macs.
I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to enable that. It's a nasty feature. But okay, that's good to know. That's a real public service for our listeners who would be frightened by that.
I can't seem to work out how to do it in Safari. To be honest, I don't use Safari. I just tend to use Firefox. But
yeah, I don't have time to experiment with all these programs. I just want to get things done. And, yeah, I know there's, like, some programs that are more politically correct to use than others and operating systems, but, you know, I just don't have time to even think about it.
Yeah.
So people get on me for using Windows, but sometimes I just got to do something quickly and it's there, and, yeah.
Anyway, on a different note,
mm-hmm.
I'm going down to London earlier on this weekend.
I'll be there too. You should definitely meet up.
Right, yeah. I think I heard you say a couple of weeks ago on the show that you were going down to the 2600 meeting.
Yeah, the 2600 meeting at the Trocadero Center, I believe.
Yeah, so I'm down there on business this weekend, so I'm thinking of popping along, so hopefully I might see you down there.
Hey, sounds great, and I'm looking forward to wandering around London. I haven't been there in a while, and just having a bit of fun over there.
Yeah, well, it'll actually be my first 2600 meeting ever, so unfortunately we don't have them up in my area. I tried a while back with a load of flyers, hit the town, and I ended up going there myself for about 3 or 4 months, and seems like I'm the only enlightened individual over here, so...
Are you going to make it to the Chaos Communications Camp?
Sorry?
You going to make it to Germany for the Chaos Communications Camp?
Unfortunately not, no. I've got family commitments with me wife and my little daughter, so...
Nice. Well, you know, you can bring them. There's daycare over there and all sorts of other fun things.
Yeah, I would have liked to have gone, but it's a lot closer than, obviously, than New York for the Hope conventions and
that's
stuff.
That's true,
so.
That's true. Okay, well, maybe we'll see you in New York next year for Hope.
Yeah, well, I'm a bit of a, I'm not a very good flyer, so.
Well, then book your time on the QM2.
Yeah, exactly. It's actually not that expensive either, so you never know. I might, I think it takes about 6 days to get across, but
yeah,
I'll give it a go. Is my phone line quiet? Is it, Emmanuel?
I'm not sure. I think our board is all messed up, but it usually is.
I'm actually, because I'm a bit of a nostalgic lover. I've got myself one of these old Bell Weston.
It's just cut out now. This is unbelievable. Your voice is cutting in and out from... The problem is our board is not maintained properly. There's wires here that are loose, and if you breathe the wrong way, something disconnects, and I'm sorry. You're cutting in and out. It's not your fault.
Right. I was thinking it was my old phone, but...
No.
I think it's fairly reliable, but the old push button...
Yeah.
The 5500 DTM series or something like that.
Uh-huh. Well, it transmits your voice very nicely, I'll say that. Listen, yeah. We're going to take another call because we do have more calls.
No problem.
Thanks for calling. I'll see you later this week.
Yeah, see you Friday.
All right, take care.
Bye now.
And good evening, you're on Off the Wall.
How's it going, Emmanuel?
Okay, how are you?
Good, I'm just calling from Canada.
Oh, Canada. I'm going to be in Canada tomorrow. I'm switching planes.
But you're going off to Europe.
Yeah, actually, that was the cheapest way to get airfare, was to fly through Canada. If I started in Canada, it would have been twice the price. If I just went from New York straight, it would have been twice the price. But going through Canada and taking the same plane that's twice the price is half the price.
Do you have to take your shoes off when you come to Canada?
I usually do, just as a matter of respect. Yeah. So what part of Canada are you in?
Montreal.
Montreal, great city.
I
that might be the city I'm transferring to. You know, I don't see Montreal or Toronto. I'm not sure. But what's on your mind?
Nothing. I sent you an email, but I saw Sicko at your behest.
Oh, good.
And I really thought it was great, very enlightening, and probably Michael Moore's best movie.
Mm-hmm.
The only really thing that I had a problem with was the kind of romanticized image of the Canadian healthcare system.
Well, okay, why don't you tell us as a Canadian, how bad is it? Do you really have to wait online outside for days to see a doctor?
My mom works in an ER, and they interview some people in Windsor, I think, saying, oh, we've never waited longer than 45 minutes, which is pretty much laughable in any major city. If you go to an emergency room and try to see someone, you'll be there for 3-4 hours, more like. But still, I mean, the fact that it's free and completely universal, I think it completely outweighs any sort of...
Well, can I tell you something? Here in this country, you're waiting for at least 3 or 4 hours.
Yeah.
The few times I've been to emergency rooms, that's happened to me every single time, and we have to pay for it on top of that. So I don't really see that as, maybe they made it a little bit too nice looking, or maybe there are exceptions where it does only take 45 minutes. I think there are exceptions in this country, too. But you really don't have to pay. How does that work? I mean, you register as a citizen, right?
Yep.
And do you have
something called a health card, and you carry it around with you, mm-hmm. and you just give them your health card when you walk in, and they have all your info and your file. If you don't have your health card, then you have to pay. You have to pay $300 just to see a doctor.
Now, what prevents people from going in every time they have the sniffles or just abusing the system?
Nothing really, and that's why people in ERs are reluctant to treat people, especially when they come in and have a cold or they're a hypochondriac, because there are special kind of clinics for that and family doctors, just like you guys have in the States.
Uh-huh. Okay, but they don't turn people away.
Never.
All right. Interesting. And there's no deductible or anything like that? It's all completely paid for?
No, it's all paid for.
How do you get your health card? At what point is that issued to you?
I got mine when I was a child, mm-hmm. and they changed the system. They're a Magstripe card, and if you have the older version, you have that one forever. It never expires. But around 10 years ago, they started putting pictures on them, so that way they actually have to be updated every 5 or so years with a new picture. It's kind of like a driver's license. And you're given that basically as soon as you become a citizen.
Amazing.
I moved here from Europe so when I was a kid, but... presumably, you got one when you were born.
All right. Listen, I want to thank you for enlightening us on that, and maybe someday we'll have a good system, too.
Yeah, hopefully.
All right. Take care. And we're just sorry about that. We're just about out of time, and I'm going to magically come out of delay now, like this. Yes, here I am live again. And, you know, I'm very happy. In that 7 seconds while I was hearing myself talk, I found a pencil, and I got to tell you, the feds have sent me a juror request form literally a few weeks after the county juror thing ended. Now they're interested in me as being a federal juror, which is going to be their worst mistake ever. But they sent me this form that requires that I fill it out with a number 2 pencil. Do you know how hard it is to find a pencil? I found 2 pencils in my house, and each of them was not sharpened. I don't have a pencil sharpener either. I don't want to go out and buy 20 pencils just to fill out one stupid form. I was looking everywhere. Everywhere. I could not find a pencil to save my life. Nobody has them anymore. But here at USB, lying on the table is a pencil. Thank God. I mean, yeah, we have old, decrepit machinery, but we also have old, decrepit pencils and things lying around from 20 years ago. And what I'm going to do as soon as I get off the air here is fill out this juror form so that I don't get hauled off to whatever you get hauled off to if you don't fill out those forms. All right, that's our show for tonight. I want to thank everybody for calling in. Again, our email address, otw@2600.com. Next couple of shows will be interesting ones from North Korea and from China. And I won't be in either of those places. I'll actually be in England, the Netherlands, and Germany. So if you're in any of those places, email us, otw@2600.com. Maybe we'll see you at the Chaos Communications Camp. ccc.de is the website for that. Until we meet again, have yourselves a good night. Thank you.
say goodbye, John Paul.
You're listening to WUSB, Stony Brook.